Welcome to the Northumberland Festival of the Arts. My name is Felicity Sidnell Reed, and in this series, Northumberland arts lovers, Chris Cameron and I, and others, talk with people who love the arts, including individual artists, leaders of arts groups and organizations, civic leaders, and other arts lovers in and around our area. Today, we're delighted to talk with Rick Beaver, well-known Ojibwe artist and elder from Alderville First Nation, whose work in a variety of media has earned him international recognition as both a painter and printmaker.
Well, Rick is also a biologist, and in 1999, he noticed a mix of rare plant species that are specific to two endangered ecosystems on some unused agricultural land. He brought this information to the chief and the band council, who declared it a natural history site. Rick's work over many years has been fundamental in the preservation, conservation, and restoration of the black oak savanna and tall grass prairie in Alderville. The site is now the largest tract of native grassland habitat left in the Rice Lake Plains and eastern Ontario, and it has a key role in the future restoration of this unique ecoregion. In 2011, Rick was awarded an honorary Doctor of Laws from Trent University in recognition of his work. Welcome, Rick.
Thank you.
You've been a working artist for a great many years, Rick. What and how do artists contribute to our communities and community life?
Thank you, Felicity. Yes, I've been practicing the craft of art for over 40 years. As such, I think, you know, I have some familiarity with how I've been able to integrate with the community and they with me, for instance. So we do express opinions in a visual way. And we're responsive to the news around us, the state of the world. And that medium is how we become communicators, both to and within our communities.
Thank you.
Rick, in addition to your work as an artist, you're well known for your association with the tall grass prairie and the Alderville black oak savanna, which reached across the northern Northumberland area to the south of Rice Lake. Can you tell our audience a bit about the area and why it's important and why they become endangered?
Integrating people more with their environment in all of its aspects is a good thing to do. Healthy communities are based on healthy environments. So when I noticed that the presence of endangered species of plants and other fauna were in the area of Alderville First Nation and its jurisdiction, I presented that to chief and council. They have decreed it a heritage site and cultural site sponsored by the community and our partners within the Rice Lake Plains area. They've become endangered due to a couple of very important reasons, one of which is the suppression of fires, which are important in their maintenance and management. Other times they've been plowed under for agricultural purposes, roads built across them, subdivisions built upon them, perhaps in ignorance of their crucial importance in contributing to the biodiversity of the planet. So steps like this, Alderville is one of the partners in the Rice Lake Plain areas, are attempting to address that.
I don't think we can get away without mentioning the Ojibwe name that was given to the area, Lake of Burning Plains. And of course, this describes the practice of burning the grasslands. And in an interview for Watershed a couple of years ago, you said that the native grasses were actually under siege by non-native grasses like alfalfa and clover and other things. Is the burning a method of cleansing the ground of those non-native grasses then?
Yes. You know, the effects of burning depend on what time of year it occurs at. Usually spring burns more grass-type habitats, and later in the year, fall burns will promote more floral representations. So the time of the year they're conducted, the intensity of the flames, how hot they are, and of course, how frequently those burns occur. Those things are all taken into consideration when habitat and ecosystem managers do a prescription for a burn. If you're managing, for instance, a cultural burden for a patch of blackberries, it's totally different than if you are managing a wide swath of open grassland. Robin Wall Kimmerer alluded to in her many writings, dab it like a paintbrush across the landscape to achieve the correct results. I, as an artist, really appreciate that description of how burning can be used as a creative force in managing our landscapes.
I'd love to know what other developments have taken place in recent years that have sort of improved the world in general's understanding of what's going on in the grassland and prairie area.
Once one begins this walk, you know, with nature in a site, the familiarity increases exponentially, and therefore the joys of being there and sharing it. One of the main intents of our work at the Oliverville Black Oak Savanna is outreach and education, introducing the intricacies of this site to people who may not be aware of even its presence and its importance in the world. Less than 5% of this habitat remains globally, so it is an endangered environment. What's been exciting about us in this journey of discovery, our mutual journey of discovery within the community, both scientific and generally, is the discovery of more species, their relationship, and some of them are quite interesting stories. Some of them really quite rare because of the rarity of this environment. And beyond that, the expansion of our knowledge to the entire community of Oliverville First Nation, its ecology, its apparatus of working with the community, how it works for us to provide water, fresh air, recreation, and of course, the vision of properly integrating Indigenous culture and non-Indigenous culture with the whole compass of future direction in terms of care of our environment. So yeah, it's an all-engaging prospect for me and of course for the people who visit and work there.
Your art is known for your use of color, line, and space, Rick. What inspires your painting and printmaking? Overall, does your painting have a message for the viewer?
One of the great struggles with creative person is where are your sources of inspiration? I'm particularly fortunate in that I can see inspiration in some of the most insignificant places, and I choose to go there. They could be the macro view of the world, for instance, as well as the broader landscape portraiture. My main intent, therefore, I think, in collusion with that approach and that realization, is to bring people closer to the world in whatever context they themselves find personal meaning. So if I can do it in an artistic way, that's my contribution to the argument for doing so.
Educating people about the savannah and the tall grass prairie is obviously important to all those who work there, and your own art has been inspired by the site and the long years of restoration. So how does the administration reach out to encourage us all to learn and be inspired by the jewel of the burning plains?
You're right. It has been referred to as the jewel of the Rice Lake Plains area for very good reason. And when I originally proposed the idea to Oliverville Chief and Council, who had already been made aware of its presence there through various other knowledgeable people, they immediately agreed. It was important. It reflected key elements of our culture and our relationship with nature. And they supported it by saying, this is an important part of our land use policy in Oliverville First Nation, the preservation and management of our unique and important environments. So not only did they agree to preserve what was then known to be the defining boundaries of the savannah, they expanded it. We bought more land from surrounding neighbors. We encourage that direction with our partners, such as the Nature Conservancy of Canada, the Northumberland County Forest, and various provincial and federal agencies. So cooperatively, we are, I guess, enhancing the setting of this jewel of the Rice Lake Plains, if you will, continue with the metaphor. And they are now supporting us both materially and spiritually and culturally in our pursuit of further integrating a healthy connection with the land.
What about people visiting? Can people go and visit?
Of course, one of the old attitudes about rare environments is their specialty, is to put a glass bulb over them and restrict access to them. That's one way of dealing with the issue, but it does very little in encouraging people to learn more about the environments. Their tactility, their aromas, the many sounds and sights, smells that you get from actually being there. So our site visitations are encouraged. The recent pandemic, the COVID virus, of course, has required us to follow guideline about distancing, with masking, et cetera, et cetera. Hopefully, when those things are fully lifted, when people are able to engage without those restrictions, the full extent of what the savannah has to offer them and they to it will return. That would be a welcome day. And they can learn things from the savannah that were intended to be there as iconic memories of connections with place.
Thanks, Rick. That's very, very well said. I was going to just try to bring this around full circle and maybe wrap us up by asking you what your hopes are for the arts in Northumberland. Now, it's plain to see that you have beautifully linked your art with your surroundings and the environment. Can you tell us what your hopes are for art and artists in Northumberland, and specifically perhaps how the Northumberland Festival of the Arts in 2022 can help contribute to this?
Well, I think it's always laudable to integrate the arts with the community in all its varied expressions. It's visual, it's acoustic, it's culinary, for instance, it's performance value, and therefore it's entertainment of humans' need to socialize, to become aware, to share the visions and purposes that people think are important who are engaged in the arts. Supporting that is vitally important, of course, to move ahead with the intent of it. And anytime you get an exhibition, what I call an exhibition, is an opportunity to display all of those things, open them to the public. And aren't we all so hungry for that again?
So we'll look forward to the time when visits to the Black Oak Savannah will be possible again. And where at the moment can our audience explore your own painting and prints? Is your studio open, Rick?
It is by appointment. I do have a website, rickbeaver.com. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. And as for the Savannah, people can find out when they're ready to open at www.aldervillesavannah.ca.
Thanks, Rick. Many thanks for granting us this interview. It's been a pleasure.
Mine as well.